Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
And the story I read about during the week is about a man who was on a plane. He was flying from one place to another place across the country. The man got onto the plane, took his seat, and if you've been on a plane lately, you know they have those behind seat TV thingies, you know, where you can program and watch movies and stuff like that. You've been on a plane? Do people know about these? All right. Right. So you didn't get that last time you flew? Oh.
I've got three chairs to myself.
Oh, well, that's, you know, bonus. You pick, you know, window or aisle or whichever one you want, or the middle, doesn't matter. Anyway, the guy gets on the plane, he wants to watch a movie, so as soon as the plane is in the air, of course, the system kicks in and you can choose your movie that you want to watch. And the guy sits down, he tries to get his screen to work, but the screen doesn't work. It's glitchy, it's just not happening for him. He can't program anything and he's getting frustrated because everybody else's screen is working. Except for his. His is not working. And he calls flight attendant after flight attendant after flight attendant to come across to try and fix his screen because it was glitching and not working. He couldn't program anything. And you guessed it. It didn't matter what they did. It just didn't work. And this guy just got more frustrated and more frustrated. And he was getting angry. He was getting frustrated. He was getting annoyed. Things were going wrong for him and because he couldn't watch this movie. Then a guy sitting next to him goes, "Dude, you got an iPad?" And goes, yeah, I want to watch a movie. And kind of gets frustrated a bit more and he's still going nuts about the screen and stuff. He goes, "You got an iPad?" He goes, yeah, I know I've got an iPad. I want to watch a movie. See, if you've been on a modern plane, you also know that you could take your iPad and connect it into the Wi-Fi and you could download whatever you want to watch, right? But this guy's getting frustrated because he wants to watch a movie on the screen, and of course the screen is not working, so he's getting frustrated. The guy goes, "Dude, you've got an iPad. Just what? iPad." He goes, "I know I've got an iPad. I want to watch a movie." And the guy goes, "Okay, happy days. Have fun." And he spent the rest of the flight not watching a movie, frustrated, angry, and annoyed because he couldn't watch a movie. The title of my message today, and I want you to kind of out of this idea, out of this story, is work what you've got. Turn to someone and say, "Work what you've got. Work what you've got." If you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you. I could see about 15, 20 odd people earlier today when I was looking at it. So welcome to you. We're so glad you're with us and joining us from wherever you are around the world. And I know there's people in New Zealand, in Uganda, in Canada, in America. So welcome to you guys. We love having you with us. If you haven't reached out and told us where you are watching from, let us do that. And we will pray for you guys. Work what you got is what I have come here to tell you today. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you for the things that you do for us each and every day. You're the one true God. And as we've just sung, you have no rival, you have no equal. No one comes close to you. So as we open your word, speak in a mighty way, speak to our hearts and our minds, speak to our souls, do something amazing today in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That powerful name of Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, open them up. John chapter 6. We're going to look at part of a very famous story, a story that is one of my favourites in the scriptures and one that I kind of read often and go to often. And I have preached from it before, but I want to take it from a complete different place today. But let me just set the scene for you. John chapter 6 is where we're going to be, probably starting at around verse 5. But let me set the scene. The disciples are with Jesus. Jesus has been performing miracles all over the place. In fact, his popularity is going through the roof, right? And the crowds are starting to follow him because he's doing some incredible things. In fact, if you read John chapter 5, you'll see that that Jesus heals a man at the gate of Bethesda. And this was a very popular place. There was a lot of people there. And so when Jesus heals this man that had been lame and couldn't walk for 38 years, right, there was a lot of talk about it. Like Jesus skyrocketing, his Instagram's just going through the roof, he's going viral, things are going nuts. Like this is Jesus because he's performing signs and wonders and people are going, "I want to know more about this guy." Anyway, Jesus gets on a boat. They cross over the Sea of Galilee. They get to the other side, and this is where we pick the story up. John chapter 6, verse 5. You ready? Okay, then you don't sound ready, but, you know, if you're ready, then I'll take your word for it. Here we go. John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Verse 6, he said this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. This gives us a little insight into who God is, who Jesus is. Right? Jesus is asking Peter a question. Where are we going to get enough bread? But the very next verse says he already had in mind what he was going to do. So Jesus is asking a question, but he's not asking a question because he doesn't know the answer. Right? It says that he knew the answer. He already had in mind what he was going to do. So he knew the answer, so he's asking Peter a question. And he's asking the disciples a question. It kind of gives this insight into who Jesus is, who God is. It's almost like Jesus is giving an invitation to Peter to join him in the mission that he has in this world. Does that make sense? He didn't need to know the answer. He already knew the answer. He's inviting Peter to join him in what he's just about to do. And Jesus today and God today is inviting us into what he wants to do. Because God knows everything, yeah?
Yes.
Five people believe that. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything and he's inviting us to get involved with what he wants to do in this world. He's inviting us to draw closer to him, inviting us to learn from him. And today he's inviting you, he's inviting me, he's inviting all of us to get involved in God's mission. Right? It's an invitation. When he asks us a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's an invitation for us to join in with him. It's like he gets up and goes, "Okay, what do you want to do today, Mark? What do you want to do today, guys? What do you want to do today, Jason?" I can say that. It's two Jasons. So I can look at both of you. Right? What do you want to do today? And that's what God is asking us. And it's an invitation for us to partner with him in his mission in this world. Yeah?
Yep.
The biggest problem with us is we respond to this invitation with, "Well, God, I've got this going on and I've got that going on and I'm hearing the invitation, God, but have you seen my problems? Have you seen what else is going on in my life? Have you seen, you know, all the things that are not going wrong? And I'm just little old me. I can't do much about what's going on with the problems in the world. Have you seen the issues, God? Like, we've just seen some of the issues in the Philippines. Like, God, really? Really?" And we kind of dismiss it. We dismiss it. And this is what most of us respond to the invitation that God gives us. Let me ask it this way. When was the last time you got up in the morning and said, "All right, God, you've given me another day. I'm breathing. What do you want me to do?"
Friday.
You did that Friday?
Yeah.
Cool. What do you want me to do? Because God is inviting us each and every day to join with him. If he's asking questions, it's an invitation for us to join with him. Philip answered, this is verse 7. Let's keep going, otherwise I'm going to get stuck here. And I've got a lot to cover because I got excited. And it's the word of God. And you don't mind, do you?
No.
Great. Busselton might, but you guys don't. Verse 7. We'll get to them. Philip answered, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." And in this day and age, right, half a year's wages, about 200 denarii. You would earn one denarii for a day's work. So 200 days' work. So, you know, half a year, two-thirds of a year, whatever. That's how much, according to Peter, it would cost just for everyone just to have a little bite of food. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, woke up. Verse 9, "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will this go among many?" I want you to note here in this verse, "But how far will they go among so many?" I want you to note that. We're coming back to that in a minute, right? Let's keep going. Verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so he was already providing a place for them to sit down because it was grass and this is, you know. Anyway, so they sat down, about 5,000 men. So we also know that that didn't include women and children back then. So you could probably say there was close to 15,000 people there that day, not just 5,000 men, but 5,000 men plus their wives plus some children. Let's say 15, low-end conservative guess. But let's just say that, but 5,000 men. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Verse 12, when they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. This is the story of the five loaves and two fishes, but I want to go back to what Andrew said in verse 9. Can I have verse 9 come back up? It says this, but how far will they go among so many? How far will this five loaves and two fish go amongst so many people? It was like the disciples were coming up to Jesus and going, are you crazy? This is all we have. It's almost like the disciples are mocking Jesus, going, you think we can feed this many people? This is all we've got. This little boy has a couple of loaves and a couple of fish, and this is insignificant compared to the needs that are here. Insignificant amount. It's just five loaves and two. Insignificant compared to the needs. Now, maybe you're more spiritual than I am. I like to think that you are. You know, some of you are a little bit older in years than I am, so I like to think that you're a little bit further along. But I feel like this from time to time. Insignificant compared to the needs. Insignificant compared to the call that Jesus has given me. Insignificant. I read the scriptures, right? I read the scriptures and I see what God has done and I see all the miracles taking place and I see that and I go, Jesus, I see all that you are here and I see what you tell me to live like over here. But have you seen the issues? Have you seen the problems I'm having? It's just me, Jesus. I mean, you're here and this is all grand over here, but I'm struggling over here and there's this gap between what we see and what we kind of experience here and the expectations of what Jesus and God has over here. Does this make sense to anyone? Yeah. Hands up if it makes sense, just so I don't feel like I'm the only one. Yeah. It's like, Jesus, I'm here. And I hear you say, you know, give to the offering, give to the self-denial appeal, but I've looked in my bank account and I don't even have enough money to pay my bills. Or, Jesus, I'm here and I want to serve, but between the kids at home and work and home duties and everything else that I've got going in my life, and there's no time for me, never alone serving the church. Jesus, I'm here and you ask me to love my husband, to love my wife, but they drive me nuts. I want to kill them most of the time. And so, you know, God, what do you want me to do here? Like, Jesus, I'm here and you ask me to trust you, but every time I trust you, I felt like I've got hurt. Jesus, I'm here and you tell me that you're a healer and I've been praying for a miracle and Josie down the road's got her miracle, but my miracle hasn't come because I'm still sick. Jesus, I'm here. And I'm not that special and I'm not that good at anything and I'm not that talented. And the need is so great. Who am I to step into that? Surely there's people more qualified. Jesus, I'm here. But I do not have enough to fix the problems that you call me to fix. And there's this big gap between where we are and where Jesus is. Does this make sense? Right? And I don't know about you. I hear this in Peter's voice in verse 9. Can I have verse 9 back up? Right, verse 9. But how far will they go among many? This is all we've got. But this is the need, Jesus. This is your expectation. We can't do this. It's almost like he's got, there's a gap. And I think what it is we look down on ourselves, down on the things we've got, down on the things that are around us, instead of looking up to the supernatural God of the universe. Does that make sense? We look down on the things we have like it's nothing. Like the guy with the, you know, I have an iPad, but yet I want to watch a movie. This is the problem, but instead of seeing there's a solution, we look at the problem instead of looking at Absolutely. And he's looking at everyone else's TV screens working on the plane, right? You see, comparison is going to kill contentment every day of the week, right? Looking, all day, every day. Like, looking at what anybody else has is going to kill what we've got. And we're going to look down on what we've got then instead of looking up to the supernatural God who in this story took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed, 5,000 men plus women and children, 15,000 odd people. Like, today I come to tell you, work what you've got. Work what you've got. Work what you've got. Come and say it with me. Work what you've got. See, Jesus has given us stuff. He's given us heaps of stuff. And we may think it's nothing. We may think it's insignificant. We may think it's small. But we need to work what we've got. We need to manage what we've got in our lives. In fact, tell someone, because they need reminding, work what you've got. Work what you've got. And this is the reminder today. I want to tell you to work what you got. Because in this story, there's 3 things that happen. And I want to give you 3 things to help you work what God has given you already. Because remember, comparison with everybody else, looking at what everybody else has, is going to kill what God has got inside you. We need to not look down on what we've got and look up to the supernatural God, yeah? And this, remember, this is the God who can literally breathe out stars, breathe out planets. This is the God who turned these 5 loaves and 2 fish over here and he bridged the gap. In fact, Jesus does that quite a bit, doesn't he? Sin, heaven, bridges the gap. Right? He bridges the gap. But we need to look to the supernatural God and not to what comparison's going to kill contentment and what God has put inside you already. So I want to give you 3 things very quickly. I'll try to be quick. Three things that's going to help you. Number one, we need to bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Right, this story of feeding the 5,000 is actually in all 4 Gospels. In fact, there is only 3 other stories that are in all 4 Gospels. Right? 3 other stories that are in all 4 Gospels. One of them is Palm Sunday. One of them is the death of Jesus, and one of them is the resurrection of Jesus. And then there's this one. So it's pretty significant that all 4 writers put it in all 4 Gospels. Right? And when you compare it to the other miracles, like raising Lazarus from the dead or feeding a few people, which one would you consider more significant? Or healing a guy who's been lame for 38 years or feeding a couple of people? Like, it doesn't make sense why this one has been highlighted so dramatically in all 4 Gospels compared to some of the other stories, right? Does that pique your interest? It piqued mine, right? It piqued mine. And I think it's because it gives us a heart, a bit of a picture of who our God is. And the fact that we can bring the smaller stuff, the insignificant stuff, the stuff that is tiny in our opinion to him, and he can then do something with it. But we need to bring it to him. In fact, one of the other stories from one of the other Gospels say that the disciples bring it to Jesus. They bring it to him. And I think we're pretty good at bringing things to Jesus, the big things. You know, when we're really sick, Jesus, help me, I'm dying on this bed here. You know, or there's an accident that happens in our family or something's going on where kids have gone off the rails and we're good at taking the big stuff to Jesus, aren't we? What about the small stuff? What about the insignificant stuff, the things we think are junk and rubbish in our life? You know, the things we kind of just push aside. Okay, Jesus, I don't have enough money in my bank, but I'm bringing it to you right now. I feel small, I feel insignificant, I'm bringing that to you. Jesus, I'm too young. Jesus, I'm too old. I don't know where the actual proper place is for that. Like we say, too young, too young, too young. And then all of a sudden we're too old, too old, too old. There must be a special gap somewhere for about 3 days where we're the right age. I'm too tall, I'm too small, I'm too whatever. Today I'm going to give that all to you, you know. I don't speak well, I don't read well, I don't know enough about the Bible, but God, I'm giving that to you today to do with whatever you want. Okay, Jesus, I don't know how I can serve, I don't know what I'm talented at, but I'm putting my hand up and saying, yes, I'm going to serve today in the church. Okay, Jesus, you know, my wife is driving me nuts, my husband's driving me nuts, I want to kill him, but I'm praying for them anyway. I'm praying for them that you're going to do something, and I just want you to bless them, God, because they are my husband or my wife, even though I want to kill them. You know, like, are we bringing this to Jesus? Okay, God, my health is not great, but I don't know what to do. I can't move much, but God, whatever I've got, I'm giving it to you. Like, are we bringing this stuff, our 5 loaves and 2 fishes, are we bringing this to Jesus and saying, here it is, and giving it to him? Are we bringing our problems to him? Are we bringing the good things to him? Are we bringing the little things to him? The insignificant things in our lives. Are we taking that all to Jesus? Right here I've got basketball. Pretty insignificant, really, for a church. We use it down in the youth shed. I just got them to go down. Size 7. I'd say from Kmart or Sports Power, it might be, what, $30? Pretty worthless, right? Insignificant, really, in the scheme of the world's problems. But if I took this same basketball and I put it in Michael Jordan's hands when he was at the height of his career, I reckon $52 million this ball would be worth. Does that make sense? Whose hands we put this stuff in makes a massive, massive difference. In my hands, $30. In Michael Jordan's hands, $52 million, I think, is what he got paid at the height of his career. Right? Huge amount of money. In my hands, my talents, my skills, my abilities, I consider them worthless. But in Jesus' hands, hey, I get to run the best church in Australia, if not the world. Right? In my head, not very talented. I'm over here and there's this gap and I don't think, you know, I'm good enough. But in Jesus' hands, well, I get to do all sorts of crazy things that you guys may read about one day in a book. You know, like, see what I'm saying? It depends on whose hands we put this stuff into. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Can you hold that? Thank you. I'm done with that anyway. Right? We need to work what we've got. Turn to someone and say, work what you've got. And we start working what we got by putting it into Jesus' hands, to bring it to him. The second thing we need to do is we need to give thanks for what we've got. To give thanks for what we've got. Verse 11, can I have verse 11 up on the screen, please? It says this, Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks. For this small, insignificant 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he gave thanks. For this little, tiny, happy meal of a lunch that couldn't even give everyone a bite to eat, he gave thanks. When was the last time you took stuff to Jesus and said, thank you, Jesus, for it? Thank you, Jesus, for what I have. Thank you that I have a house. Thank you that I have money, that I have food. Thank you for the small, painful stuff that's in my life. Thank you for the problems that I've got. Thank you that I've got this going on. Thank you that I've got kids that are driving me nuts and I want to kill them most of the time because they're not doing their chores at home when they're supposed to do their chores at home. But I'm thanking you, God, for them. Therapy session for me today. Thank you, Jesus, for the $7.73 I have in my bank account. I need $300 to pay my rent, but I'm thanking you, God, for what I have now, today. Thank you for the problems. Thank you for the little things. I know everybody else has got 4 times the amount, but I'm not looking at them. I'm looking at what I've got, God, and I'm just thanking you for what I've got. Remember, comparison will kill contentment. But we need to thank God for them. See, we need to see, and when we work with what we've got and work what we've got, we need to give it to a supernatural God. And then we need to say, thank you, God, for what I have. Thank you for the problem. Instead of looking down on them, instead of looking at the issues, we look to God. And we say, thank you for what I've got. In fact, Psalm 118, verse 24, this is not in there, so you can't put it up because I added it in right at the last tail end before I come up here to start the service. But, you know, Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Do we know the song? This is the day. I know I can't sing, so shut up. This is the day that the Lord. We will rejoice.
We will rejoice. And be glad in it. And be glad in it.
For
this is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad. Come on. This is
the day that the
Lord has. Okay, who made it? Who made it? The Lord made it, right? The Lord made it. But this is how we sing it. Tomorrow's the day, next week is the day that the Lord has made. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, this is right where I am now. Not when things get better, not when I think things. This is the day. Next year is the year, because this one's full of junk. And I wish it was different, and I wish it was different. I'll wait to praise him next year, because maybe my breakthrough will happen then. But right now I'm just going to stand here and wait and just be resentful in it all. Be resentful in it all. This is how we sing it sometimes, is it not? Next year is my year. Next week is my week. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. In other words, we will give thanks for where we're at. Yeah? Not tomorrow's the day, next week is the day that the Lord has made. Not next year because this year is full of junk and I wish it was different. Right here, right now is where we are. Let's give thanks for where we are, right here, right now. Make sense? We need to give thanks for what we are. The good, the bad, the ugly. We need to give thanks for where we are. Because if we don't, we're focusing on something else. We're focusing on the problem, focusing on what we don't have, focusing on the fact that everybody else's TV screens are working and mine is not. Give thanks. If we're going to work what we've got, we need to focus on the fact that God is a supernatural God who has given us what we need right now in this moment. Amen? Amen? Work what we got. What was the first one?
Bring it to Jesus.
What was the second one? Give thanks for what we got. The third one is tough, but I'm going there anyway. If we're going to work what we have, then we need to be prepared to lose what we have. A pin drop. I might have a drink. This is a good moment for it. If we're going to work what we have, we need to be prepared to lose what we have. And it sounds strange, but it does work. Jesus took the loaves, this is verse 11, gave thanks and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. This little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That was his lunch. But in order for the miracle to take place, he had to give that up. He had to lose that. But I guarantee you he ate that day more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he still had to give it up. Then it was broken apart and then distributed and given away. Right? For the miracle to happen, sometimes when we give stuff to Jesus and we thank him, we bring it to Jesus, we thank him for it, he sometimes takes it, breaks it, and gives it out to other people. But sometimes we need to just be prepared to lose it. Because when we're prepared to lose it, we're not focused on what we have and don't have. We're focused on the supernatural God who can and will. Make sense? If we're focused on the God who can and good and who will, it doesn't matter what's going on. You see, most of us want a 6-pack of abs, but we don't want to do the crunches for them, do we? Don't want to do the exercise to get them. Right? It took me years to get my keg. I don't even have a 6-pack, I have a keg, mate. That's how we play. Like, some of us want big bank accounts, but we haven't learned how to deal with money and learn how to manage money and how money works and all, like through that. Some of us want the recognition for the work we do, but we don't actually want to do the work that it to get us the recognition. We just want the recognition. You know, I've got this degree, so therefore I should be recognised with it. But actually, we need to. There's some proving there. Some of us want the title, but we're not willing to get to the bottom of the run and work our way up. Like everybody comes, and with every baby, there is always a birthing pain. And so when it comes to this, if we're prepared to lose it, this is the birthing pain. But when Jesus gets it in his hands, and we've given thanks for it, and we're looking to a supernatural God who can and who will, he takes the little bit that we have that we're prepared to lose, and he takes it, and he does his thing, and he blesses it, and prays over it, and he divides it, and gives it away. And we're looking at it going, okay, but then all of a sudden there's heaps. And he takes the little thing that we've got and he's made the miracle happen. Can you imagine being a disciple this day? Right? The disciples, right? Because Jesus gives thanks, breaks it up, puts it in the baskets, then gives it to the disciples. The disciples are the ones that are giving it to the people. Right? Can you imagine what the people are saying at this point? Oh, thank you so much. That's so good. Thank you so much. And oh, thank you. Oh my gosh, you're the best. Thanks for feeding. Like, disciples would have been getting all this stuff, all these accolades, all this thing going on. Because they were the one giving it out on Jesus' behalf. Now, I guarantee you they pointed to Jesus saying, oh, yeah, it's Jesus doing it. I hope. I mean, straight after this story, Jesus chucks them on a boat and sends them back across the lake so they can have quiet time and gets them away from the people. And Jesus stays behind and then comes walking on the water. But so maybe they did get a bit pig-headed and a bit, you know, puffed up and a bit proudful. And who knows? I don't know. We'll need to ask him when we get there. But right here, like, can you imagine this? The boy had to give it up and be prepared to lose it. See, when we bring things to Jesus, as strange as this sounds, we need to be prepared to lose these things for it to be given away. But God sometimes has a bigger plan. And sometimes he will take things away from you and out of your lives. And sometimes he'll leave them in your lives. Sometimes he has a better plan for you than you've got. Sometimes he has a better miracle for you than you were thinking. We just need to trust him because he is the supernatural God. Instead of looking down on what we have, right, we take it to Jesus. We give thanks for what we have. And then we be prepared to lose it. Be prepared to say to Jesus, okay, do whatever you want with it. Like, we're talking specifically, okay, about the self-denial appeal. All right, Jesus, I'm bringing my gift. It's more than I want to give, but, you know, it's making me quiver and the liver's kind of rattling around a bit and the back pocket's hurting. I might have to eat baked beans for a week or two, but I'm bringing my gift. And I'm giving thanks for it. And I'm going to allow you to take it and lose it. You need to be prepared to lose it. But then God might bless you in so many other ways that you just weren't dreaming about. A number of years ago, I have no idea where I am in my notes anymore. A number of years ago, I bought a tablet. You know the iPad tablets? Not this one. This is my new one. The one before this one. And I bought it off of Facebook. It was $300 was what I negotiated for to buy it, which I thought was pretty good at the time. Right? I had hopefully that's coming back through again. So I bought this tablet for $300. I really was just like, okay, and it was the one I wanted at the time, and so I bought it. And they advertised $320, but I bought it, and I gave them an offer of $300. They took it straight away. And so I went and picked up the tablet, and I paid them the $300. And I jumped in my car and I drove around to the shops in Eaton because I needed some food for dinner that night. So I went and grabbed some food. And there in the shops, as I'm shopping for my stuff, I see the person I just bought the tablet from. And they had a list of paper and they were calculating on a calculator and they were trying to work out exactly what to buy. And I had this stirring in my spirit. God said to me, give them the extra $20 that you knocked them down on, right? $20. It's not a lot, right? $20. And so I didn't have cash on me, so when I went to the till, I said, you know, I'd use my actual card. I got $20 out, and I drove around to the house, put it in an envelope, stuck it in the mailbox because I didn't really want to just do it in the shops in front of everyone, so I put it in their mailbox and gave them the $20, all right? But I had this stirring in my spirit that God said, just do it. Just do it. Well, when I upgraded to this tablet here, a year and a half to 2 years later, right, I thought I'd sell my old tablet on Facebook to see if I could get rid of it because I don't need two tablets, right? Well, I sold my old tablet for $440. I made $120 off my old tablet
and I had it for 2 years. Now, you never make money off technology, ever. Ever. Right? But I believe, because God said, do this, and I said, okay, that God went, watch this. Watch this. And he made it happen. Now, I don't tell you that story to say, look at my faith, because there's been plenty of times where God has said to me something, and I wish I could say to you every time he said to me something that I've done it. I wish I could say that to you. It's just not true. And I don't want to lie to you. But in this particular case, I did it. And God took it. I was prepared to lose it in order for God. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? We need to give it to Jesus. We need to give thanks for what we've got. We need to be prepared to lose it. And then we will see God do miracles upon miracles like we wouldn't believe. Make sense? Make sense? Church, I've come today to tell you, work what you've got. Don't compare yourself to what is happening to others. Don't look down on what you've got. Don't think that the things in your lives are insignificant or wrong or stupid or not there. Work what you've got. Work what you've got. Work what you've got. What God has given you, work that out. Amen? Look to the supernatural God who can make all things happen, because we serve a God who is so great and so powerful and so mighty and can do all this stuff, but we need to work what we got where we're at. Right? Where we're at. We'll get the singers to come back up because we've got no band who's wound me down, but we need to work what we got. Don't look down. Don't look around. Don't look to any... Just work what we've got. And this gap that was once here is no longer there. Amen? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to sing. Father God, today we just praise you and thank you for what we have. Lord God, we know that you've given us all these things, and we may look at this, that, and the other. We may think, you know, we deserve this, or we're not talented enough, or this is happening. But God, today, we just thank you for what we've got. We bring all that we are to you, and we put it in your hands. And we give thanks for what you've given to us, praising you today. It may not be what I like or what I want, but we praise you anyway. We lift your name high. We exalt you for what you've given to us. And lastly, God, we're prepared to lose whatever we have, because we know that you could take anything and switch it around. You could take nothing and make something out of it. You're the only person who can take absolute nothingness and flip it and change it. So help us to have our eyes on the supernatural God who could do all things. Help us to work what we've been given, work what we've got in this world, in this place, for your glory and your honor, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.